Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to a fine, wonderful Sunday. So glad that you've come to worship this morning and seek the Lord and draw close in spirit and fellowship with other brothers and sisters. John Piper's Catechism, you do this on a regular basis. And what is the reason annexed to the third commandment? What is the reason annexed to the third commandment? The reason. Amen. Amen. So the title of this message is "It's Test the Spirits." And typically when I travel through the week, I look for stories of the week. And there's a couple of stories this week that I want to share. Some of them are, one of them is, I'm not sure I'm going to share it right now, but we'll find out. But the first one, Mike Pence, is our vice president. He's the vice president of the United States. He's a guy that some Christians look up to and some Christians get a little frustrated with, and non-Christians, there's plenty of them that aren't happy with him. But there's an article that ran in the Washington Post this week. An article this week that ran in the Washington Post said that Mike Pence will not eat dinner or a meal with a woman by himself. Nor will he go to an event that serves alcohol without his wife at his side. And the Washington Post took umbrage with this. They weren't happy with him being the vice president of the United States and having these rules in his life. I have those rules in my life. I don't go into any room with any woman, any age, by myself. It's not even eating dinner. I just don't go anywhere. And I kind of went, why is that a problem? And they listed their reasons and they talked about all these things. And I went and looked for where this came from for Mike Pence. And basically it came out of Billy Graham Association. And Billy Graham's got four things that he does on a regular basis. The first thing that he does, and these came out of what they call the Modesto Manifesto in 1948, I believe. Okay, so the first thing that concerned Billy Graham in his crusades was we need to make sure that money is taken care of, that it is accountable, that everybody could see it, that it's never an issue. It's the first thing he said. The second thing that he said is we need to make sure that sexuality is never become an issue. So we should never have the actual appearance of something wrong. Then he said, we need to continue to work with the local church. We are an evangelistic organization, but we need to come out of the local church, not just be on our own. And the fourth thing he said is, we need to be honest publicly. However many people come is however many people come. We don't need to inflate those numbers. I thought that was pretty cool. And I thought that Mike Pence kind of having some of that in his life is not a bad thing. Second thing that happened this week that I kind of picked up on and when I was looking at this message was worthy of bringing to the forefront. Candace Cameron Burr. I don't know if you know that name. Anybody know that name? You do. How do you know that name?
Well, she was a family, Full House.
Full House. Right. She was a big deal in my generation, okay? Big deal. I mean, it was a big deal. Well, she wore a shirt this week, okay? And the shirt said, "Not today, Satan." I'm like, I'm in. That's not a problem for me. I'm in. Not today, Satan. That's a great shirt. It says a great message. Unfortunately, the phrase was coined by Bianca Del Rio. Bianca Del Rio is a gay woman. And she coined that phrase. And so cameras wore this shirt this week, I think innocently enough, and they took umbrage. They called her a homophobic Republican. And then 14 million people flooded her website with messages about it. And it just was interesting to me. That shirt Not today, Satan. Not a bad thing to say for a Christian. Really not a bad thing to say. Hey, I want nothing to do with Satan today. I'm in. Why does that become an issue? And why do we allow that to become an issue? It shouldn't be. How did that get stolen from us? How did the rainbow get stolen from us? You know where the rainbow came from, right? Okay. Noah and the boat, the flood, the whole thing. And God said, hey, well, I'm not going to do that again. Here's my symbol to you. And it's actually a ring if you see it from the sky. It's a ring that's colored a rainbow. But it's been completely stolen from us and used for a different purpose. Something else that happened this week that kind of rings true with this message, and I'm going to keep this light. I can't keep this light. This is hard. I'm going to say this in a way it's not as harsh as it is. Okay? So, 40 people witnessed an event on Facebook Live this week. 40 people witnessed an event. A 14-year-old boy did something with a 15-year-old girl, and it was witnessed by 40 people on Facebook and did not get reported by a single one. And you can look it up and you can see it. It's national news. You can find it. But how have we gotten to that place where we view something atrocious and do not report it? How do we get to that place? 40 people. There's 40 people in this young man's community that think that's okay. It's just not okay. Truly not okay. In Colombia, something happened this week. And it should touch your hearts. Okay, so there are 193 people who died. There are 200 people missing right now. That should touch your hearts as a Christian. Now, I'm not saying that you should take your stuff and go to Colombia and go help find people. But I am saying that you should be touched enough to be praying for that community. And praying for Christians that are near that community to move, to do something significant. Now, I know that this will be used by various people for various reasons. And you'll hear all kinds of things about this thing. But the bottom line, people are hurt. We as Christians have a deep responsibility to deal with those who are hurt. So I want to come back to this passage. This passage in 1 John chapter 4. It says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. We as Christians need to learn how to test the spirits. We need to learn how to test what people say, who people are, so that we are not deceived. Just because somebody says they're a Christian doesn't mean that they are. Just because somebody says that they follow God doesn't mean that they are following God that you love. Just because somebody says something doesn't mean that it's necessarily true. We need to be able to test the spirits to see whether they are true. It begins with, this is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come from the flesh is from God. Start with asking that question. Do you believe that Jesus came from God? Start there. Don't end there, but start there. Because if they're on the same page with you, with Jesus, then yeah, maybe they were heading in the right direction. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. By the way, the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist. Does he come and just do things that are evil? You do know that Satan comes as an angel of light, right? And that he can do things that look really, really, really good? Okay, so in other words, yes, Satan does like the dark stuff. He does all the dark stuff. He enjoys the dark stuff. He sets those dark things up. And he can be all the way over on the dark side. He could be with that 14-year-old, with that 15-year-old girl. He's over there. But do you know that he can be over here? He could be, and I'm not saying he is. He could be with the Vice President of the United States. Could be. And honestly, and I'm not political, so I'm not trying to make a political statement here. I'm not trying to say Mike Pence is not Christian. I'm just trying to say you need to be sure. Would I put President Trump in the category of Christian? For me, I don't. Honestly, I don't. I haven't seen enough evidence that puts me in that category of thinking that he actually believes that Jesus is the Son of God and that he would follow Jesus to the ends of the earth. I don't believe that he's in that category. I just don't. That's my testing. You need to test yourself. You need to test those things that are in your life to make sure that they are of God. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because the one who is, let me go back. Verse 3. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. The Antichrist is here. Maybe not the Antichrist from Revelation, so to speak, but the devil is in the works in so many things that are out there currently. I share a story with you also this week that came to me. My Hispanic pastor's son came to me this week. Some of you probably know him, David. David has a girlfriend, a sweet girl. And she works. She's been out there working, and she works for a store, and she makes a little bit of money. Well, her mom works a little. Between the two of them, they have been paying $600 a month for rent for a garage space in Southgate. Now, the people who own the house have now decided they're selling the house and are moving on. Now, they have to vacate that house. Do you think they could find $600 rent anywhere? Anywhere? Difficult, isn't it? To go from, okay, here's $600, I've got $600, I'm paying $600 in rent. By the way, that's almost all of their income. Because they work for $10 an hour. They work for $10 an hour, they can only get 30 hours a week worth of work. There's just not a lot of income there. So David was asking me if I knew of a place that rented, you know, that had a place to rent, that could house them, could, you know, and honestly, I don't know a place in Southern California where you can rent for $500 or $600 a month. I don't know a place. There are a lot more people in that boat than we readily admit. And somewhere along the line, this has changed. And it's become difficult for people that don't make a lot to get something. And how do we change that? How do we get to the place where we can go, okay, this isn't where it needs to be. We need to kind of do something. You, dear children, are from God. You have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. The world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. And how we do that is found in the next verse. How you truly recognize the spirit of falsehood versus the spirit of God. It begins with love. Dear friends, let us love who? One another. Okay? Truly love one another. Not just, hi, how are you? But truly love one another. A love that is so deep that it is something that we go, okay, this is overpowering. Okay, so this peace should become overpowering within the context of our lives. It should be something so powerful that it reaches and breaches the things that are going on in our current world. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and his Son is Son, an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And the stories that I told you this morning, the little tidbits that I shared with you, there are places where you need to really look for love within the context of those things. With Vice President Pence, is he showing love? In my opinion, yes. I've been married 28 years. I don't want any woman to even have a feeling that she is something more important than my wife. And I don't want my wife to have any feeling other than she is the most important thing in my life. And how do I establish that? I establish that by what I do. Do I get on Snapchat and start talking with other ladies out there? Do I get on Facebook and have conversations with other ladies out there? Do I go to have dinner with other ladies out there? The answer is no. Why? Because I truly love the one I chose. I love my wife with all of my heart. What do you do with God on this? Do you love God so much that you don't let other things get in the way? Or is there some things in this world that you're kind of going, well, I kind of like that, so I want to be part of that. I want to make sure that's in. But that's not necessarily what God has asked me to be. Take a look. Take a look a little deeper. With the story with Candace Cameron. Candace Cameron is dealing with something that the Christian church is struggling with massively. Christian church is massively struggling with homosexuality. The message of homosexuality and how we deal with the message of homosexuality. It is massively struggling with this. How do you overcome it? With love. It's the only way. Jesus died for our sins, right? Why? Because he loved us. Did he die for the gay man's sins? Yes or no?
Yes.
Ooh. So he loves them too, right?
Yes.
Yet we know Scripture says certain things, right? Everyone in here, guilty of sin. Every single one of us. Penalty for sin, our sin is what? Death. Doesn't matter what the sin was. Doesn't matter. I got a whole list in my hand, okay? Over here is my list. I already have them. You can choose them. Matter of fact, you could probably get all the Ten Commandments except I didn't kill anybody. Okay? Honestly, you could probably get all the Ten Commandments. I probably hit all of them along the way, okay? I mean, just, I've got my list. And Jesus forgave me for all of that because he loved me. So how do you deal with a gay person? How do you truly deal with that? How do you represent Christ and still share the love of God for gay people? You have that responsibility. Now, you do have the responsibility to let them know that it's sin. Just as you have the responsibility to share with somebody who is in a bad relationship or in another relationship, you have a responsibility to share God's love with them that what they're doing isn't correct. But you also have the responsibility to love them in such a way that if something happened to them, you would truly make the difference in their lives. When you start making the difference in somebody's lives who's a sinner, that's when they could see God's love. Until you do that, you really haven't shown anything yet. Candace Cameron said to the young man, "You don't know what's in my heart. I think God's love goes for everybody. I'm in on that conversation. But not everybody is, and not everybody understands that we do view things differently. We view things differently in this area of sexuality, and yes, there is a call that homosexuality is wrong based on Scripture. That doesn't preclude us from loving those who are in those things. We're probably not going to be close friends, but we are going to share God's love and need to continue to share God's love, just as God showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Have to have a picture and an understanding as you go along with it. Okay? Furthermore, share the other story of a young man doing something with a young girl. Everything's about the video. It's not about the video. It's about the girl. It's not about those 40 people that did nothing. It's about the girl. How do you show love to that girl in that crisis situation and get her to a place where she can recover? It's also about the boy. How do you get his life so changed that he doesn't think that's okay? How do you get that place? How do you get to that place where you can help somebody? Because this world is not the end. It's not. He's going to suffer the consequences that man puts upon him. But I don't want God to put those consequences upon him that are permanent for the rest of his life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, there are some precious words that describe love. Americans don't understand love this way very well. I wish we did. Love is patient. Think about where you live and how patient we are. Do you consider the place that you live in patient? I really don't. I don't consider where I live to be patient. I don't consider people to wait upon you at any length of time. You can look at some little places and get a picture of this. Get on the freeway and have somebody go slower in front of you and see how patient you are. Go to Taco Bell, order something. Have to wait for 10 minutes because somebody messed up before you. How patient are you? Or are you quick to say you are incompetent? How patient are you when you're waiting for a check in the mail or waiting for somebody to pay you back? How patient are you? How patient are you when somebody does something that they shouldn't have done and they know it? Love is patient. It waits. It waits. It waits for the situation to get better. It waits for things to become better. It has a time of waiting. Love is patient. Love is kind. Kindness, I think, is a lost art. Maybe, maybe not. But kindness is when you do something for somebody that you don't have an expectation of them doing something for you. Kindness is when you let somebody in line, well, except that you're going to irritate everybody behind you. Kindness when you bring somebody a Starbucks coffee. Kindness when you bring somebody, take care of their children. I was visiting my grandchildren this weekend, and my daughter and my son-in-law don't get a whole lot of time out. Give me the kids, get out of the house. But they're screaming. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. You screamed when you were that age, so get over it. Get out of the house. And me and my wife will have a good time. We'll figure it out. I mean, we're old enough to raise children. Sorry. We raised you. Get over it. So that's kindness. It's doing something for somebody, you know, and this happened to be family. Have you ever thought about it doing for a neighbor that you don't know? Kind of growing a relationship, and if they've got some issues there, that you can give them a little help along the way. I think it's valid and important. Kindness. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. Okay, so those two go together, by the way. If you're not envying, you don't have any real reason to boast. And you shouldn't be telling... couples get into this problem where they start telling each other what each other have done. I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. They've got a list running in their head. Love doesn't keep a list. It doesn't keep a list of what I've done well. It doesn't keep a list of what I've done wrong. It doesn't keep a list of what somebody else has done right or what somebody else has done wrong. I will tell you that I have my own list. Okay, so every time that I get in a fight with my wife, I have those lists. I know that, okay? I'm trying to work on that, trying to keep that list out. And try to work on what we're doing right now, what the situation is right now. It's hard to overcome those lists, because those lists are what we hang on to. It's not rude. It is not self-seeking. So when you do something in love, you're not doing this so that you can get something back. The world does that on a regular basis, okay? I know a lot of people that pay compliments to people who are in power on a regular basis. I see it at school all the time. I teach at a school, and I see people who talk to administration in one way, but when they're not near administration, they're talking a complete different way. I'm going, how does that work? It's because they're looking to gain something from administration, but they're not really happy with administration. We use it a lot. We shouldn't. We shouldn't be using love to be self-seeking. We should be using love to lift other people up. It's not easily angered. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Verse 8 says, love never... fails. It truly never fails. You can't love too little. Well, maybe you can. Can you love too much? Can you love too much? You can never love too much. You can never give too much. When you're looking at the relationships around your world, around your life, when you're giving love and giving something that people see, it changes their perspective on who you are. People will recognize how much you give. They also recognize how much you don't give. You can look at your own life and think about it. Think about it yourself. Do you recognize the people in your life that give a lot? And do you recognize the ones that don't give anything? I bet you do. We have a tendency to keep that list. I'm telling you, as Christians, we shouldn't have the list. But we should be the ones that are giving so much that everybody's going, why? Why do they feel that they can give all the time? And why you should feel you can give all the time is because you've been given everything. You are a child of God. When this world ends, you go where? To heaven. And in heaven, there is no needs. You've been given it all. Give it away. God will give you more. Give it away. Get the opportunity to give it away. Give to some others that they might see something in you that they want to be part of. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. In other words, we know a bit, but we don't know it all. Our prophets give us a piece, but they don't give us the whole picture. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall see, know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three remain. I'll talk about those in a moment. My son is 18 years old. Love my son dearly. He's going to graduate from Westchester High School here in June. But right now, I can't get him off YouTube. My son's a lacrosse player. He likes to play lacrosse. Okay, he enjoys the game. But I can't get him out the door to run. It's his weakness in his game. The only weakness in his game is he has no wind. Okay, he can handle a stick, he can throw the ball, he can score, but he cannot stay running the whole game. But he is infatuated with YouTube. I do not know why. It's because he's still childish. YouTube holds nothing for me. I've got nothing on YouTube I really care to see. There's nothing on there except car videos, the ones that show you how to fix something. Those are useful to me, okay? I can look at those, and I see those once every 6 months, okay? I got something I can't figure out, I'll go there. But the whole comedy thing, really? I got more important things to do. Honestly. And get this picture. When you watch a YouTube video, who are you interacting with? Nobody. Does the person that you view the video on know that you're looking at his video? Yes, they got a number. That's all you are. Are you interacting with anybody? God wants you interacting with people, showing them love. Do you show somebody love with a YouTube video? By watching it? No, you're not. Don't tell me you are. You're not. Okay, you can't. You can't show somebody love by looking at their YouTube video. You can't. You show love with somebody by doing something for them that they need done. What they need done. And you learn what people need done by interacting with them on a regular basis. You don't know what somebody needs until you're talking to them. Started this message with test the spirits. You need to test the spirits. You need to understand the people that you're interacting with, and whether they're of God or not of God. If they're of God, celebrate with them. Enjoy each other's company. You can look at some of the stuff they do and say, will this work in my life? They're not of God, guess what your job is? It's only one. Share Jesus with them. It's the only job you have with them. Somebody who has not come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior cannot admit that Jesus is God. You have one responsibility with them, to show the love that God showed you. Period. That love is foundational for their life, for their future life. Show it in any way you can. Something happened recently at church, which I never thought was a big deal, but it's a big deal. I didn't understand. Okay? So, somebody made chocolate chip cookies. They put them in the back of the church. I never thought this was a big deal. But that 24 chocolate chip cookies is gone before everybody leaves. People take one or two with them to go give to somebody else. And they talk with people. It's amazing. Okay? Chocolate chip cookies. How does that happen? They leave with joy. Leave church with joy. That simple. Find somebody tomorrow. Give them a chocolate chip cookie. See what happens. Give them an apple. Give them a pear. Give them something. Talk to them. Get relationship oriented. Get to the place where you are the one that they recognize as giving some form of love. And see, the chocolate chip cookies came in the back. Nobody knew where they came from. We know now. We didn't know where they came from. We just felt loved on as a congregation when we went out the door. It was great. Okay? That same love that was expressed to us is something that we should express on a regular basis to other folks. Okay? Enough said?